What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm JR.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, where this week we have an essay from Dave Workman talking about the Shakespeare Code. And JR, I want to say up front here, I think Doctor Who can still teach without doing pure historicals. I think it can take a concept that happened in history and let people know about it. And if they're really interested in it, they'll go out and delve into it a bit more. It doesn't have to be a pure historical to get people into it.
You're absolutely right. All Doctor Who needs to do is put something in front of you, and if the story's interesting enough and if you engage with it enough, you won't just want to see the next episode of Doctor Who, but you'll want to investigate the thing it's put in front of you, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, recently in Series 10, we had the Eaters of Light, which is very fantastical with those creatures getting around the place. However, it might make people think about Romans in Britain, you know, and dig into that a little more, even if they're not specifically looking at the Missing Legion story, perhaps. Just the overall era. What an interesting time.
Damn right it is. You know, Romans in Great Britain, you know, normally, if we think about recent history, it's all about the British going out there and conquering the world. Going back to ancient Roman times, to think about a time when we were conquered, as opposed to the conquering, that could be a really interesting, you know, avenue for people to investigate.
Oh, absolutely. And there's been Romans coming and going for many, many years.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else as well. It doesn't necessarily need to be historical. Just a very short anecdote. I remember after Kill the Moon, many months after Kill the Moon, after all the furore about the science in Kill the Moon had died down, I remember somebody brought it up again and there was a thread on Facebook or somewhere. And somebody just said, you know, I watched Kill the Moon with my little boy who's 9 or 8 or something like that. And after it had finished, instead of saying, well, I don't believe this, it's all bobbins, he turned around and said, so is the moon really like that? And of course his dad said, well, no, it's not really like that. That's just for the television. So the kid said, well, what is the moon really like? And together they investigated the reality of the moon.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, it's easy to do that with anything Doctor Who throws at you, not just the historicals, but obviously the historicals are a particular avenue that's slightly easier for people to sort of, you know, think along those lines, I guess.
Absolutely.
And the other aspect of Dave's essay that we're just about to listen to is, I'll leave it this briefly, Doctor Who in the workplace. Yeah. I think I'll just tease it with that, and people can listen to the essay and find out what I mean for themselves.
Sounds good to me. Let's have a listen.
Yep, let's do.
Such things as dreams are made of, or what have butterflies ever done to you? The Shakespeare Code by Dave Workman, 31, from London. First story, The Time Meddler, 1992 repeat. Whenever I come back to the Shakespeare Code, I'm struck by how well, in 45 minutes, it does effortlessly what I've spent a number of years trying to do. Namely, explain to an audience who probably harbour resentment towards Shakespeare how he is relevant to us in the 21st century. We've all suffered from with bad teachers and awful productions, and a sense that his plays are something for someone else to understand and enjoy. But in this episode, Gareth Roberts liberates him from the cultural pedestal that centuries of scholarship have placed him on. Shakespeare is a popular, bawdy drunkard, and is all the better for it. If he were alive today, Shakespeare would undoubtedly be horrified and confused by the fact that his plays are studied as artefacts by schoolchildren. He never wrote his plays down, and would never have seen them as being anything other than a form of live entertainment for the masses. The original Globe Theatre nestled alongside bear-baiting pits, brothels and taverns, all of which were outside the walls of the City of London, and seen as immoral, base and ungodly by the authorities. Shakespeare was a central part of this outsider element. Sound familiar, Doctor Who fans? Because what this episode is really all about, and what makes it so beautiful and exciting, is the power of this popular culture. And yeah, that does include Shakespeare. I was lucky enough to work at the Modern Globe Theatre for a number of years, albeit 3 years after this was filmed, though I did hear tales of the TARDIS being parked in the rehearsal studios, where I was responsible for engaging young people with Shakespeare, be that through productions or workshops. In many ways, the Globe is the antithesis of modern theatre. There are no lights, no fourth wall for the actor to hide behind. They see every reaction from every audience member and can interplay directly with them. There's no pretense of acting. It's a wholly democratic space where the audience can, to some extent, define the atmosphere of a production. Imagine then a contemporary audience of 1400 to 11 to 16 year olds, which I quickly came to realise was perhaps the closest we'd ever get to a true recreation of 16th century audiences. Excuse the digression, interlude, interval, what you will. But what I intend to mean was that this episode simultaneously democratises and elevates Shakespeare much as the Modern Globe, with all of its catcalls from the audience and raised eyebrows from its actors, does. He is once again turned into a mass entertainment, for 7.23 million people in this case, to be precise. And the man himself is drawn in sharp parallel with the character of the Doctor. Both historically stand distinctly outside of the establishment. Witness the Doctor's excitement at visiting the original Globe Theatre. Even his glee at the general muck of 16th century London. If he thinks it's alright, maybe we should take a second look. In this particular episode, we also get a subtle treatise on education and learning. The Doctor admits he failed his TARDIS driving test, or whatever the less prosaic version is on Gallifrey for that. Whilst the Shakespeare depicted by Gareth Roberts and Dean Lennox Kelly is very much biting its thumb at those scholars who can't believe that a man from the Midlands who left school at 14 could possibly write these great plays, and who continue to insist that someone with a title must be the true source. Shakespeare is an ordinary guy who also has the power to communicate the human condition to a mass audience of fellow ordinary people. But Gareth Roberts isn't doing this solely to humanise Shakespeare. This must be one of the most densely packed episodes for outside references, scholarly, literary, biblical and Doctor Who related amongst them. Sure, the Doctor references canonical poets, but he also references Back to the Future. And Martha Jones and Shakespeare themselves save the planet with a J.K. Rowling quote. This is an incredibly important statement to make. This is a story about the power of the imagination, the power of words and literature, and the joy of knowledge. Without diminishing Shakespeare, Gareth Roberts manages to suggest the love of literature, a love of ideas, a love of words, whatever their provenance or cultural validity, is of the most importance. Mass entertainment, Shakespeare, Harry Potter, The Da Vinci Code, and yeah, Doctor Who, play a vital role in defining who we are as people. If just one young audience member watching this felt empowered to pick up a copy of Macbeth, or Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, or even Doctor Who and the Northern Invasion, and discover something about the world and through that about themselves, well, without wanting to make 1,000 scholars choke and compare the Bard of Bankside with the Bard of Time, sorry, isn't that just a little bit wonderful?
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.